Hello and welcome back to InfraDig, the podcast service brought to you by IJ Global, Infrastructure Journal. My name is Angus Leslie Melville and I'm Editorial Director of IJ Global. Today I have with me Edward Wilkinson, Strategic Corporate Development Lead at GScan, a company that uses technology in a rather clever way that has numerous applications across the infrastructure and energy sector. Edward, welcome to InfraDig.
Thank you, Angus. Pleasure to be here.
Lovely to be talking. Now, today's podcast runs true to the mission of the InfraDig service, and that is to broaden market understanding of certain aspects of infrastructure. GScan. Now, this is a rather interesting company involved in everything from artificial intelligence through to 3D reconstruction and machine learning. But possibly it's best if Edward explains what GScan does. Edward, tell us a little bit about yourself and a good bit more about what GScan does, with a primary focus on how that integrates into the world of infrastructure and energy. Over to you.
Thank you, Angus. So look, I've spent the past 25 years in and around both infrastructure and technology. Most recently have really focused on the infratech space, hence my involvement with GScan. The GScan organization was founded in about 2018, built off the back of a company called GoSwift that focused on automated border crossing. As part of that, they identified a technology that was able to see through steel, stone, etc., to identify the contents of containers and lorries, which is called muon or muon flux in a larger extent. Muons are harmless, ever-present solar radiation. So ultimately, they're harmless X-rays. But Unlike X-ray, they are unaffected by other materials and have the ability to identify both density, volume, and also chemical composition within hidden structures. So within a wall, within a tunnel, within a container. And muons are, as I said, ever-present solar radiation, 207 times heavier than electrons. They've been around and were first identified in the early 20th century, and in fact were first identified at the Eiffel Tower. And then over time, up until 1937, when they were first used for the work of measuring the content and the quantity of muons, there are about 10,000 muons per square meter per minute hitting the surface of the Earth. And they penetrate the surface of the Earth up to about 20 meters and sometimes beyond, up to a kilometer into the Earth's crust. But they are able, and how we harness them is we've developed hardware and software to identify in really three domains. Firstly, that of assurance, non-destructive testing, and also security. So things like prisons, border crossings, to help identify drugs, people, weapons, etc., crossing borders. We work with three avenues in the UK, which is government, academia, owner-operators, the likes of National Highways, Network Rail, Sellafield, and then into the strategic partner community, the likes of Jacobs, Arup, Bechtel, who have access to projects. So in terms of what we're doing, we are able to help asset owners, in simple terms, understand the integrity of their asset, the presence of voids, cavities, the presence of corrosion, rust, the presence of fluid that can be detrimental to the performance and the long-term integrity of an infrastructure asset. I hope that gives you a bit of sort of detail as to us and it.
It certainly does. I was going to be asking you about the history of the science. Have you already done that?
So no, I can go into more detail on the science, actually.
Okay,
because actually
tell us more.
So it gets into... So in terms of the science, muons, really in the 1970s, was when they were beginning to be able to harness them commercially. And there were scanners, very early stage scanners developed. And they looked at, were looking for voids in the pyramids at Gaza, Gosa in Cairo. Fast forward to around about 2015, 2016, the scanners had slightly advanced, but scanner technology was really held back by the cost of the components and the difficulty of gaining components to enable the scanners. There were two sorts of scanners, There are gas scanners and then scintillating fiber scanners, which are more effective, and they're the ones that we use. I mean, to the large part, actually, muons and muon flux really still is in the realms of academia and universities. There are very few commercial enterprises that harness muons the way we do. There's a couple in the States and two others in the UK, one called Geoptic and the other called Linkios, but they are still relatively early stage in their development. Coming back to the science, so the muons ultimately enter the Earth's atmosphere and travel at just under the speed of light, coming down not vertically, but from vertical to about 37 degrees to the surface of the Earth. They pass through everything and everything. They are ever present. And what we have done using our scanners has been able to create the density, the chemical composition. So we've mapped the atomic table. So the behavior of the muon as it passes through an item, whether it be some narcotics, whether it be through fluid, whether it be through corrosion, the muons then behave differently. So we deploy two scanners, one above the item and the other below. This is called scattering. As the muon passes through the first scanner and then through the item, its behavior changes. And as it passes through the second scanner, we capture that change, align it to the initial behavior of the muon as it passes through the first scanner, and then using our proprietary AI and machine learning software, are able to provide a 3D image and the chemical composition of the item of interest. Whether, as I said, whether it be a bridge, whether it be a retaining wall, whether it be an aircraft, an airframe, in the defense realm where we work as well, which then enables us to advise and provide detailed analysis from these measurements to the asset owner to enable them to optimize, to restructure, to rebuild the asset and to manage it more effectively.
Gosh, that's really very interesting. So the application of a cutting edge, which granted has been around for a while, but the honing of technology to improve for infrastructure and energy, your ability to scan and check for its stability as a structure or seeking defaults. Well, it's really, really interesting. Okay, now you mentioned earlier on, your company started off as part of GoSwift. And from our chat earlier on, you were saying that in 2018 you spun out into G-Scan. Can you take a second just to run us through how GoSwift evolved and what you were seeking to do with G-Scan? Bearing in mind, always keeping this sort of in the infrastructure and energy community in mind, but tell us a bit about the history and the creation of G-Scan.
So I think in both instances, it's very interesting, my experience in the infratech space and then the fact the broader technology world tells you that the best path to finding decent technology is to identify a problem first and then build some technology that actually solves the problem rather than building some technology and looking for a problem. So in the instance of GoSwift, the founder noticed that there were plenty of trucks sitting around Tallinn waiting to cross the border. So what he did was to create an automated border crossing piece of technology, which was automated, removing the human element, i.e. Border force security guards as the form. It also enabled trucks to pre-book a slot with ultimately what is a manifest of the truck to enable the border force to understand point of origin, contents of truck, driver, truck owner, etc. A little bit like an aeroplane as it leaves an airport with the contents. The muon flux was the X-ray, the harmless X-ray method of assessing what was in within the truck. And because muons are harmless, they can be operated in a live environment with a driver in the truck, unlike x-rays where the truck driver would have to be removed for safety reasons. Mm-hmm. What then happened was the founders, who are PhDs in nuclear physics, particle physics, quantum mechanics, identified a broader challenge in that the infrastructure world was suffering from poor performing integrity assessment methods in GPR and X-ray, and therefore felt that muons, because they are all-seeing, would perform a far better service to the owner-operator community of the infrastructure world. Therefore, they developed and created G-Scan as an infrastructure and defense-focused asset integrity assessment methodology, harnessing muons in three forms: security, continuing in the security world, hence, you know, similar and aligned still to GoSwift, but more interestingly in the infrastructure world, non-destructive testing, looking at bridges, tunnels, and then also in the assurance space. So things like tunnel cladding, tunnel grouting, and also in the nuclear sector around the assurance of the integrity of welds on important and complex components of a nuclear reactor, a nuclear power station.
Well, yes, you can see the application of across an awful lot of industries and how that's going to open it up. When you were talking about the sort of border control, that does make an awful lot of sense. You've got your manifest there. It's going to speed up the process, and that's all anybody's interested in these days, is moving through the bottlenecks as quick as you can. So I imagine that has greatly enhanced the whole border crossing element in Estonia.
I think it's also worth mentioning, you know, the human factor, human error in looking at cracking at cavities in infrastructure assets, in the quality of welding on a power station. Using AI and ML, we are able to remove the human factor, therefore driving a more efficient and more effective form of non-destructive testing and assurance. Because, you know, in the ever-growing world of new nuclear, in the ever-growing world of net zero, removing carbon, embedded carbon in concrete, the ability to, you know, generate sustainable infrastructure where you don't need to tear a bridge down, you can actually repair it. So our ability to assess to a very, very high level of resolution the state of an asset, it's concrete, it's reinforced concrete, the presence of corrosion, the presence of voids, the presence of fluid, it means that actually we will really assist with the continuation of infrastructure's presence rather than the need to tear it down and rebuild it.
Music to the ears of many a government, that. Unless, of course, you find out it does need to be pulled down and replaced.
But at least your capital expenditure, you're spending the right money on the right things rather than necessarily tearing something down which you don't need to.
Yes, yeah, makes perfect sense. Okay, thank you for that. Now, G-Scan, as you mentioned, it was founded in Estonia, but you're based in the UK. What was the thinking behind that?
So the co-founders of G-Scan, as I mentioned, were part of GoSwift, which is an Estonian business. The initial seed funding, the initial projects were in Estonia, but they recognized that they had a very exciting and game-changing piece of technology. And they recognized, therefore, that to develop it internationally, the sensible market to focus on, because of the presence of international strategic partners, a more internationally visible marketplace, was to prepare and launch a UK capability, pursuing UK projects and finding strategic partners who weren't only operating in the UK market, but were also operating internationally. The likes of Arup, the Jacobs, the Acoms of this world, the Bechtels of this world, who operate internationally. And so our objective and my role was to really develop the UK market. And what that meant was it wasn't about sales. It was about raising awareness of muon flux, which is what this is largely about, and to engage with the market to demonstrate the value that muons bring over and above the traditional forms of NDT and assurance, such as X-ray and GPR and ultrasound. So the thinking was to open in the UK. We have affiliations to a number of universities here, namely Sheffield and Loughborough, as well as Imperial, and then to build out our engagement with the sort of more government agency focused community, such as the Centre for Smart Infrastructure and Construction in Cambridge, the Manufacturing Technology Centre, amongst others, to really gain accreditation and recognition from recognised operators and thinkers in the world of not only infrastructure, but more importantly, finer engineering, data science, and innovation.
And when you say GPR, that's ground penetrating radar, correct?
Yep. Radar, sorry.
Always like to nail down jargon as we go along. Okay, let's take it back to the technology itself. You've said quite a bit about it, but can you provide some examples of user cases and which segments of infrastructure it plays best to?
So, I mean, look, there are a number of segments of infrastructure, from real estate, as I've mentioned, power stations, into more traditional forms of infrastructure like bridges, viaducts, retaining walls. But where we started was in the defense realm. In fact, the Soviet army left Estonia in 1995, and behind them, they left two training but nuclear-powered submarines for the training of nuclear submariners. Now, as they left, they decided it would be a good idea to fill the submarines not only with further radioactive material, but also with concrete. So we had two giant 10 centimeter thick steel sarcophaguses filled with concrete, radioactive material, and nuclear reactors that the Estonian regulator stated needed by 2040 to be decommissioned and to be stored in a safe store similar to that of Sellafield, as we have in the UK. Now, to do that, you needed to know exact location of the radioactive material, of the reactors. There were no blueprints. There were some very old drawings stating the location of the reactor. So over a five-month period, G-Scan deployed a single scanner underneath the submarine, which is called absorption, when you have a single scanner, the muons passing through the submarine hull, through the materials inside, out the other side, and then into our scanners. We scanned the entire 12 by 7 meter diameter submarine, and we were able to identify the location of the reactor, the exact specifications of the reactor, as well as the presence of the other element, the hotspots of radioactive materials within the concrete, which will enable the submarine to be broken up more safely, because currently, you know, over time, the depletion of the steel from fluid, from water, and then the feasible accessing of radioactive waste externally to the sarcophagus means that it can be safely broken up over the next 10 to 15 years and safe stored in a facility in Estonia. A second use case, which is actually our first commercial use case, was secured at the beginning of last year when we first entered the UK market. My network, and part of the reason for my joining, is that I have a very strong network through the infrastructure world, through the sort of three segments I mentioned earlier. So we were in touch with National Highways, who were at the time assessing their 1,200 post-tension bridges. They have 1,200 in their portfolio. They had decommissioned a segment of bridge on the A14 and had placed it at Doddington in the Midlands to be assessed by a number of different forms of non-destructive testing technologies, namely ground penetrating radar, GPR, X-ray, ultrasound, and then also, we were a late entry, muon flux, to really establish what is the best in class for providing a thorough and robust assessment of the post-tension bridges, of which, as I said, there were 1,200, all of which are in a varying degree of repair. Some are in need of to be replaced, some are in need of retrofitting and upgrading. But really, we were brought in to establish, and because of the nature of Neon Flux, not only were we able to see within and create a 3D image of the internal workings of the bridge, but we were able to identify the levels of corrosion, the levels of grouting challenges, and the spaces in the ducts and the depletion of the steel cables that are pre-fitted to the reinforced concrete. And so over a three-month period, we were assessing the bridge, and we've actually just recently published our most up-to-date results from the measurements, and we have hit, I think I'm safe in saying, about 95% of the criteria laid out by National Highways in their objective of identifying what is the best way for them to dynamically manage and therefore maintain their portfolio of post-tension bridges.
Well, in your first example, the two former Soviet nuclear submarines, at the time, when you started saying, I was thinking, well, that was kind of them to leave them behind. That must be worth quite a lot of money, but it would appear not at all. It's an absolute nightmare.
Extraordinary, right? Yeah. So 2040, they have to be, the regulators deemed by 2040, they need to be safely stored. So it's a similar situation to a Chernobyl and other scenarios where you need to assess something as complex as a nuclear facility.
Quite a challenge. Okay, right about now, I'm thinking that I've heard all the positive things to hear about Muon Flux. How about you tell me, what are its limitations?
I mean, one of the interesting things about the Estonians, to go back to one of your earlier questions, is they are brutally honest. Very high integrity, and they will probably tell you the failings of muons before they tell you the good things.
I like the sound of them already.
And ironically. So the two key elements is that because muon flux are naturally occurring, they are not synthetically generated, we are limited because, as I said earlier, there are 10,000 muons hitting the surface, passing through us and onto the surface of the Earth, 10,000 per square meter per minute. So you cannot create more, and that is the sort of baseline that you work to. So part of the challenge is that we need time currently to effectively assess an asset. And to give you a rule of thumb, to get a centimeter resolution of a crack, is about 24 hours, give or take. To get millimeter resolution, it's about 168 hours, which is about a week of exposure to the asset. There is also the additional challenge that you need to be relatively close to the asset, because obviously if you're further away, you're capturing less of the flux, which means your resolution takes longer to achieve, because of the particles passing through the asset, the item of interest, and then into our capturing secondary scanner that is the one that measures the differential of behaviors of the muons having passed through the item of interest. So the two limitations are we need time, and we need to be close proximity to the asset. That being said, we can, in the instance of a tunnel, be quite deep underground and still achieve a sensible outcome. Yeah, one has to recognize that, you know, we're not as quick as X-ray, but we are more robust and the outcome is better than X-ray. And also over time, like with all things connected to AI and ML, machine learning, the more you do it, the better you become, because your algorithms are trained to identify specific, you know, eventualities or aspects to an asset, and one can start to second guess what we think might be coming based on legacy data. But so one has to, you know, one is very upfront with customers, saying, look, you know, you're not going to get a result in 5 minutes. You know, you'll get a result in a day, and you get a very good result in a week. But if we have longer, the better the result, and the more robust the outcome. Is.
And given what you've said, it doesn't seem realistic to anticipate that you could speed that up, could you?
So feasibly, in time, you will be able to synthetically create muons.
Okay.
Which would mean there would be a greater volume of muons. Mm-hmm. And or you would start to think about more refined and better quality scanners. Already, our first commercial product was available 2023. The scanners we're using now are 65% more efficient than the scanners we had in our first project. And we think that within 2 years from now, they will be 200% more effective. So it will be down to the scanner. It'll be down to the ability to synthetically create muons, which is probably some way away, let's be honest. Mm-hmm. And then it's down to the AI and the ML nature of the software and the development of the software to be faster and to be quicker at identifying anomalies in an item of interest.
And how confident are you on the whole AI front? Because, well, it makes sense that that could be a good application for artificial intelligence. It is, I suppose, you know, layman speak, filling in the gaps, taking a bit of a punt, or is that just too simplistic?
I think that's probably a little bit simplistic. I mean, look, AI is what it is. Mm. I mean, we rely heavily on the quality of our scanner.
Mm.
We are very thorough in our data analytics. So the data analytics is overseen by, you know, PhD software developers, PhD civil engineers, particle physics, nuclear scientists, all of whom have PhDs. So we are cognizant of a reliance on the software,
mm-hmm.
but we have, you know, highly capable individuals who are able to look over the shoulder, if you like, of the technology to ensure that we're ending up with not just the right answer, but the right answer achieved the right way. AI and ML will play a valuable part in our development. The machine learning piece, obviously, as we train the algorithms and look at the atomic table and then how we're able to identify elements of within the, and from within the atomic table.
Mm-hmm.
And the AI piece, you know, underpins the, you know, our software and will undoubtedly play an important part of our business going forwards.
Hmm. Well, there you have it, folk. A really interesting piece of technology being deployed on infrastructure and energy assets with, well, I'd say quite a few applications across numerous sectors. Very interesting. Edward, I think all that's left for me to do is to say thank you very much for taking time to join us. It's been really interesting.
I've really enjoyed it. Thank you, Angus, very much for having me.
It's been lovely having you. And let's just finish off with the usual parting words. I sincerely hope you found this to be anything but In for a Dig.